Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, December 6th. I'm Kelly Lincoln reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, updates on 200 aftershocks to yesterday's 7.0 earthquake, local ice skating rink and crab feed kick off the holiday season, and Shelter Cove reports on lessons from the earthquake and tsunami warning. Stay tuned. News on these stories and more coming right up. Sean Masterson with the newly formed and greatly enlarged Garberville Fire Protection District, as well as Friends of the Garberville Fire, stopped by KMUD News Studio this afternoon to remind the community they will be having their annual crab feed down at the Benbow KOA tomorrow, December 7th, from 4 to 9 p.m.
At the Benbow KOA, some of the posters say Friendship Hall, and it's actually Village Hall. Village Hall's the bigger one and the first one you come to, so you'll see us. You can't miss us. So come on down. We're selling tickets at the door. They're $40 a ticket. So we have over 300 crabs. So the fishermen really came through for us this year. So
Masterson describes the event as a stone soup affair.
We have a lot of crab, over 300 crab collected by local fishermen. We have salad from Chautauqua. We have bread from El Forno. We have dressings from Jay's Catering. It's kind of like stone soup, you know? It's like they come in with the rock and everybody provides all the ingredients, you know?
He also said KMUD's Mumser and the Funicators will be performing.
And this year, for the first time, we have live music. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with a lady named Mumser, but she's helping us out. They're playing. They'll be going. We're going from 4 to 9 o'clock tomorrow, and they'll be playing most of the time. So
there are a lot of unplanned expenses and needs that the district is trying to cover.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of stuff that falls through the cracks, right? So we've had a ton of expenses. Our water tanker, we pumped out at one of the hydrants and apparently there was rocks in the line and it ate up the pump. So, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 for a pump on a truck.
Before he left, Masterson gave a brief report on how the Garberville Fire Protection District responded to yesterday's earthquake.
Yesterday we were doing house inspections and bridge inspections and you know, is it safe to be here? You know, we had a chimney come down up in Garberville, up on the hill there. So just a lot of stuff that in an emergency, you know, it's like, who knows where to shut the water off, where to shut a lot of those old water heaters that nobody ever strapped down because it's always been there, you know, broke loose yesterday, you know.
Again, the crab feed benefiting the Garberville Fire Protection District and the Friends of Garberville Fire will be at the Benbow KOA tomorrow, Saturday, December 7th, from 4 to 9 p.m. Shelter Cove, a small coastal town in Northern California, lies near the Mendocino Triple Junction, where the Pacific, North American, and Gorda tectonic plates converge. This unique geologic feature makes it one of the most seismically active regions in the continental United States. Following yesterday's magnitude 7 earthquake, Lauren Schmidt spoke with local residents and a leading earthquake expert to explore the impacts.
Yesterday, a magnitude 7.0 earthquake struck approximately 60 miles off the Humboldt County coast at 10:44 a.m. on Thursday, December 5th. The earthquake, originating from a strike slip fault near the Mendocino Triple Junction, caused horizontal movement of the seafloor and prompted tsunami warnings across coastal areas. Over 15,000 people reported feeling the shaking, from Oregon to the Bay Area and east to Chico and Redding. While there were instances of power outages and minor damage, thankfully, no catastrophic impacts were reported. The National Weather Service in Eureka initially issued tsunami warnings due to the potential for significant waves. Residents in low-lying areas were advised to evacuate. However, by early afternoon, the warnings were downgraded, and all evacuation orders were lifted when no substantial tsunami threat materialized. This afternoon, as part of our Community Safety and Awareness Report, we checked in with Lori Dangler, Emeritus Professor of Geology at Cal Poly Humboldt and a leading earthquake expert, for her insights on the seismic event.
So where we're at right now, fortunately, we don't have to worry about tsunamis today. The tsunami warning stayed in place a little over an hour after yesterday's earthquake, but it's all over, and only very modest signals were observed, roughly 4 to 6 inches at Arena Cove, similar size in Crescent City. We're still looking at some unusual sort of longer period oscillations in Humboldt Bay. There are some interesting, very low amplitude, long period, like 55 minute swells in Humboldt Bay. We're trying to see if it was linked to the earthquake. Sometimes large earthquakes, just the surface waves, can excite something called a seiche, which is a periodic oscillation in a bay of water. Possibly that's what happened. Certainly a number of people observed the water slowly going down and then slowly coming back. We're talking about very, very slow changes in the water level. So we're following that up. Don't have the answer yet. Good news is it was not something that was going to cause any damage. We're talking about a really slow kind of oscillation. There have been nearly 200 aftershocks as I speak. Maybe we're up to 200 by now, because I haven't looked in the last 15 minutes. Most recently, a magnitude 4 that occurred at noon. So folks in the Mendocino, Cape Mendocino area and Eel River Valley are probably feeling fairly frequent, modest earthquakes. Again, they're located offshore. They don't seem to have a lot of high frequency content, so they're not sharp like a lot of the aftershocks from the 2022 earthquake were.
There have been 3 major impacts in December over the past 4 years. Is this a coincidence, or is there some connection? And is there such a thing called earthquake weather?
There is earthquake weather. Hot, dry, humid, rainy, windy, snowy, frigid. Let's see, what have I left out? Could be a hurricane. It could be a heat wave. All weather is earthquake weather. So earthquakes occur miles beneath the Earth's surface, where the daily fluctuation of temperatures never reach. So we can completely throw out the idea that rainy days, dry days make any difference as far as when we have earthquakes. Yes, we have had a number of earthquakes in December. December 21st, 1954, an earthquake I've been paying a lot of attention to because it was located near Fickle Hill. We had the 2 December earthquakes in 2021 and 2022, and we had yesterday's. But we've had many more earthquakes that weren't in December. And if we look back in the record of the largest earthquake to have occurred in the last 400 years, it occurred in January. And certainly the Cape Mendocino earthquakes, they occurred in April. December is earthquake month, but so is January, February, March, April, May, and so forth. It's statistics. It's just simply randomness. It's coincidence. It has nothing to do with physical properties.
You can listen to our full 30-minute interview with Dr. Dangler on our website. That's kmud.org. KMUD News spent the afternoon in Shelter Cove, a small Lost Coast town uniquely positioned near the Mendocino Triple Junction, where the Pacific, North American, and Gorda tectonic plates converge. The San Andreas Fault Zone trends west from its northernmost onshore extension at Shelter Cove, meeting the Mendocino Fracture Zone at this dynamic triple plate boundary. We spoke with multiple residents and officials about their experiences, starting with Jasmine Guerrieri, the lead baker at Surf Point Coffee House, which sits below the Shelter Cove Oceanfront Inn on a cliffside.
They ended up having to evacuate from here. So everyone, including like the people staying in the hotel, everyone left, like went out, drove up to, I assume, somewhere near the fire station, like out of tsunami zone, and just kind of waited for it to be called off. But everyone was like panicking, like bad, because that was a big earthquake.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, we didn't get any damage here at the shop. Like, not even a mug fell off the wall. I watched the video from Jippo, and they had glasses breaking and falling, and like they're shook. Here we had like a spice container fall off the kitchen wall in the back, and that was it.
The hotel manager of the Oceanfront Inn shared their experience of evacuating hotel guests.
Scariest part of the whole situation is the fact that you very well could be driving away and everything that's in your car is what you have moving forward, because a tsunami could come and wipe everything out. The CERT team went around and like did their whistles and like yelled, go to high ground. They did that for about an hour. We just did this 2 years ago. This was the easiest evacuation of a hotel and cleanup I've ever done before.
Yeah, so you had to evacuate, you know, the hotel.
The three rooms that were in-house, yes.
Luckily it happened during like kind of the slower season.
Yeah.
This guest was visiting Shelter Cove for a relaxing vacation when the magnitude 7 earthquake struck. When asked for her take on this experience, she said it was
bearable. You know, I'm pretty adaptable, and I'm from Southern California, so earthquakes don't faze me at all.
Right.
That didn't bother me at all. That was one of the bigger ones that I've ever lived through. Being from Southern California, that's saying a lot.
The Shelter Cove General Store is making news across the state, as the SF Gate reports they suffered thousands of dollars in damages. We stopped by for an update.
Hi, my name is Lauren Sullivan. I've been working at the Shelter Cove General Store for 14 years now, and yesterday was by far the craziest day I've experienced here. We've had many earthquakes since I've been here, but that one knocked everything off the shelf. Luckily, we were all in the garage, which is probably more solid, and some people were outside. But luckily, no customers in the wine section, which would have been really bad.
How much damage did you all sustain here?
We can't really estimate it, but there was multiple things on the ground broken. It's mostly glass, pepperoncinis, and then all the moisture destroyed multiple products on the ground too. So we'll have to find out.
Was this the strongest earthquake you think you felt?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I've been around the Cove for 20 years, and this is definitely the biggest quake.
Shelter Cove is a robust fishing community, and we asked the fishing preservation how anglers fared during the tsunami warning.
My name is Matt Kempe. I'm the tractor driver that launches boats in the ocean. I was on the tractor, so it just felt different. Felt like the tractor was rocking from a wave hitting the trailer, and then I saw the hillsides were all dusty and falling in. It was about it. I wasn't expecting that, but people said they felt it out in the water with the boats that were out there. I think I had 5 boats out. They were just curious what was going on because their phones were going off saying earthquake, and they thought their boats were having issues with the motors and stuff like that. And then they were curious about coming back in. They stayed out. I had them stage out by the whistle until I knew what was going on, paying attention to what the waves were doing, because people were running uphill while I was running downhill. The first boat I caught, I could feel a really good current pulling. So I was like, something was going on.
One angler was on the water during the quake and shared his perspective from the ocean.
Rick Kehoe, Buzz, Shelter Cove. And yesterday we were out crabbing, and we needed to kill some time for the pots to fill up. And we were making a run to look at the house down there. And on the way, going about 20 miles an hour, it felt like we hit speed bumps. I thought maybe the prop had picked up something. And we stopped, and nothing on the prop. Then all our phones are going off with alarms. And I'm thinking the alarm was my boat telling me it was taking on water. But that wasn't the case, and how would my phone know that my boat was taking on water? But, you know, it just felt like a speed bump out there, and wasn't nearly as big an event on the water as it was on land, I guess. We were in about 80 feet of water, and once we realized there wasn't anything wrong with the boat, we still didn't know it was an earthquake. Then we found out that our alarms were going off was an earthquake, and so we couldn't come back in because they wouldn't let the tractor pull us out. So we went back down and crabbed some more. Got 18 crabs.
Local Shelter Cove personality and frequent Cape Mud caller, Saj, also shared her take on the day.
This is where I was during the commencement of the earthquake that happened yesterday at 10:44. At 10:43, I went into the Surf Point coffee shop and got myself a double Breve 16 ounce. Next, I came out to the front, and then within 1 second, the earth began to rumble right here. And it felt like the ocean from there was underneath us right here. This is a tsunami hazard zone. I walked uphill, and I call it stress on top of stress. And before that was the cyclone bomb. Three stresses.
My name's Ray DeCosma. I live down here in Southern Humboldt. I was in Garberville yesterday, just coming out of the bank and popping my head into the old stuff store to say hi to a friend when that earthquake hit. We got out of there just in time as all the shelving and all of his inventory came down and smashed everywhere. Made our way out to the street to try to get away from that building and watched the entire ground just roll in front of us. Saw my truck get lifted up almost on two wheels, and then proceeded to make my way back towards the cove through all of that destruction. So tons of slides happening over all around. Dude, multiple slides, and they were active the entire time. So when I showed up here about an hour and a half after the fact of the initial shock, maybe an hour or so by the time I got down here, you could see just on our side of Dead Man's, there was an active slide going on, and all the way down the coast, it was just dust. And those slides kept going for a few hours. It's pretty incredible. It definitely is going to change the coastline that we see every day. But it was great to see my community coming together and taking care of business. Everyone was out there helping each other clean up and make sure everyone was safe.
Our news team also stopped by the Shelter Cove Volunteer Fire Department and Resort Improvement District, where they updated on their response and possible damages.
All right. Hello, my name is Chris Christensen. I'm the general manager for the Shelter Cove RID. We provide the water, wastewater, and electric services out here in Shelter Cove. And we had a planned outage yesterday during the earthquake while there was some work going on at our generator plant. And so half the cove was out of power when the earthquake happened, and it went really well. We also had a major water main break the night before, so we were trying to assess how to deal with this water break and how to fix that when the earthquake happened, and which caused more water main breaks. So thankfully everyone was on staff that day. We have some mid-1960s water tanks out there, about four of them, where the pipe discharges from the tank, meets the ground, where basically that's where it ruptured. We had two of those tanks separate right there, not completely separate, partial separate, where the pipe goes underground. Crews fixed both those spots by 5:30 p.m. yesterday. And then we had at least one main break, which they also were able to repair. And other than that, everything went, there was a hydrant break too, on the end of a cul-de-sac, which is unoccupied, so we were able to isolate that and fix it. We'll probably get to that one next week. But everyone worked long hours, got it done, and no one lost water, and we fared really well, I think.
Jack Hargrave, Battalion Chief of Shelter Cove Fire. And yeah, actually yesterday we had a really good response from our personnel. I'm really proud of everybody involved. We, as I said yesterday, we went down and did the evacuations in the morning. After about an hour, we realized that the evacuation notice was rescinded. And so at that point, we just went ahead and did structure checks and everything. Everything seemed fine. We had originally heard reports that there were issues with the water system, but then we clarified with the water superintendent that all was well. Just some as he talked to me today, the system was never depressurized. Even though we had a couple leaks, the system was always pressurized, so there was no infiltration, and so no need for any kind of boil order notice or anything like that. And I'm really thankful for all of our secondary units that came in. We had Cal Fire help us out. Our CERT team was phenomenal. They set up a full evacuation center up here, had food, everything available for people, and they were just phenomenal. This was actually, it turned out to be basically a really nice drill, a full-scale drill. Thankfully, nothing major happened. And we had a good response out from, or want for response from Bryceland Fire touched out for us, and they were going to come and help us with the water tender in case our water supply was down. We were able to cancel them, and we also had Redway Fire had called and asked if we had any needs out. And so, yeah, definitely big shout out to those guys. OES, Department of California Office of Emergency Services, were in contact with us as far as if we had any potable water needs, and they actually swung by after a while and made sure that we were all good out here. And yeah, we had a lot of good response. They were all immediately ready to send us all kinds of resources, but as we kept evaluating the situation, it looked like it was de-escalated, and so we're able to basically cancel any additional help.
Helpful tips on preparing your home and family for the next earthquake, because it's not a matter of if, but when, can be found at ready.gov. Our region is the most seismically active in the contiguous United States, so it is critical folks prepare and make a plan. For local resources, you can also check the North Coast Comprehensive Guide to Surviving and Thriving in Earthquake Country by searching for Living on Shaky Ground. In addition, if you or your business was affected by the earthquake, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office is asking that you fill out a damage report on the Humboldt County Office of Emergency Services webpage. That's humboldtgov.org/emergency-damage-forum. KMA News will continue to share updates. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Lauren Schmidt.
A temporary ice skating rink for the Christmas holiday is opening today, Friday, December 6th, in the Sherwood Forest parking lot in downtown Garberville. Laura Lassiter, the Director of Operations for Southern Humboldt's Business and Visitors Bureau, tells KMUD News about what she called
the Humboldt's Gateway to the Redwoods Skating Rink
and other activities planned for Southern Humboldt's winter holiday season. Lassiter said the atmospheric river did give them some trouble in opening this skating rink.
We're standing in the middle of downtown Garberville at our second location. The first location got flooded out by Mother Nature. So we had to switch things in the last week and a half to this new location here at the Sherwood Forest. And we are covered by a 40 by 60 tent. We have an adjoining 10 by 30 tent. And we have our 30 by 50 synthetic ice skating rink.
The rink is not actual ice. To keep the environmental footprint in our warm climate to a minimum, this rink is synthetic.
These are plastic panels that snap together. They are infused with a special oil. And then part of the maintenance of this is applying this special coating on there, which is called Glide, which is a food additive, I guess. It's actually said it's an ingredient in Twinkies. So we apply that process on here, and you don't know. You're skating.
Lassiter described what families can expect when they arrive to the rink.
Chamber has been a great support of this. I think they are decorating some giant, the board of directors is decorating some giant candy canes that are going to go out in the front, so look for the giant candy canes. They would show up to the Sherwood Forest and walk in. To skate for adults and 10 and over is $12, and that includes your skate rentals. Children 10 and under is $6, and that includes skate rental. You'll get your skate tickets. You pick up your skates. You come in here. We'll have awesome benches for you to sit on. There's little cubbies for you to put your shoes and stuff, and you put your skates on, and you get out there. And we do have little skate assists for the little ones. And I thought about using them, but they are kind of short to the ground. But, you know, if you've skated before, I was out there, and it comes back to you just like riding a bike. It really does. I've only fallen a few times, so it is a lot of fun.
Locally, most people do not own ice skating shoes, but they will be on hand.
So we have 253 pairs of skates. Those are over there. I can show you those. But starting from the littles, 7 and 8, all the way up to size 13.
And she also said about 700 kids from schools around the region will be bused in over the next 2 weeks.
We're really excited for that. We've got Casterlin, Whitethorn, Redway, two of Rio Dell's, Miranda Junior High. We have 34 volunteers from South Fork High School. So much of community involvement to make this happen. Just really reaching out of, hey, you know, from Randall Sand and Gravel, hey, we need gravel at our original site, and they were on it. Just, it you know, Can Escapes was there, really of what do we need, and the community came together and to make this happen.
Lassiter acknowledged that the community could not have pulled this off alone and that the Lodging Association has sponsored the event.
Shop in our local retailers, eat in our local restaurants, stay in our lodging facilities here. That's what it's all about. So we've really been regionally within our networks have been sharing it so that they can share it. And we did put together a Humboldt Hometown for the Holidays promotion, working with Arcata and our regional partners throughout the county, Willow Creek, Ferndale. And so everyone hopefully is aware of our skating rink here in Southern Humboldt.
In addition to the ice skating rink at the Sherwood Forest Inn, Lassiter said there will be other community events tomorrow, Saturday, December 7th, and throughout the holiday season.
And tying this into the Small Town Christmas on December 21st and the Seroptimus Lighted Parade on December 21st, it's a wonderful time for us here in Southern Humboldt. So we are excited, so bring the family out. We'll have Redway PTA here on Saturday. They've got s'mores and popcorn and hot pretzels, and we're going to have coffee and hot chocolate and who knows what else.
Brenda Perez, Executive Director of Centro del Pueblo, spoke with KMUD News about how her organization is responding to the re-election of Donald Trump, whose agenda features mass deportations of non-citizen immigrants, possibly even legal immigrants. Centro del Pueblo is a space for the indigenous peoples of the South, immigrants, and Latin community. They promote awareness of immigrant rights as well as the cultural and artistic revitalization of members' ancestral roots. Perez shared how the immigrant community is feeling.
We have to prepare. We have to be all together as if the earthquake or tsunami would have hit this region. We are so far away, but at the same time, we have been terrorized by ICE. So this can happen. It's in our memory, and it is in our resistance, too. So this last month have been a lot of confusion, but also a lot of hope. Like, not before we are prepared for organizing a good protection of our rights.
Perez said her foundational advice is to be informed and prepared.
My biggest advice is to keep calm. I know it's hard to say even more for us, but keep calm and keep informed. Find good, reliable sources of information, because during these times, that's going to be key.
To meet that goal, Centro del Pueblo is having a series of trainings. The first training will be tomorrow, Saturday, December 7th. It will focus on helping DACA renewals. DACA stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which is an immigrant policy created during the Obama administration for adults who were immigrated with their parents as very young children. The DACA policy was created in recognition that these youth had never known the nations of their birth, and DACA status essentially provides them with legal status to live and work in the United States. However, it does not grant permanent legal status, nor a pathway to citizenship. The first training educates the participants on the DACA renewal process.
And this will be at Cal Poly Humboldt at the library in the computer lab, first floor, starting at 1 p.m. And this is a train-the-trainer, which means it's not only for dreamers or DACAs, it's also for people that want to help them. Because in this training, you will learn how to make the renewal application without intermediation of a lawyer. So you will acquire important knowledge for the time coming. And also, if you are a dreamer, just join us. We are going to talk about mental health, how to support each other during these times and create this network. And you will end after the training of 2 hours with your DACA renewal done.
Again, the first training for DACA renewal is tomorrow, Saturday, December 7th, in the first floor computer lab at the Cal Poly Humboldt Library from 1 to 3 p.m. And then next weekend, Centro de Pueblo will have a training for the wider community. In Spanish, it's Ven y conoce tus derechos. Aprende sobre la defensa de los derechos de los migrantes. In English, come and know your rights. Learn about defending the rights of migrants.
The second event is a Know Your Rights. This is a big, larger train the trainers for rapid response networks. We saw during the first period of Trump that ICE would use techniques for creating terror and confusion, such as attacking hospitals or schools or job spaces. This cannot occur in sanctuary counties without violating several protocols and the law itself. And as a reminder, the sheriff's office is not allowed to collaborate with ICE as an immigration agency or to enhance that law. So this is an event where we want to gather every member of the community, bilingual, Latina, immigrant, documented, undocumented, all of you that are listening this. Please join us. This is going to be Saturday, December 14th, starting at 1 p.m. and it's going to last 4 hours.
Again, the rights training will be next Saturday, December 14th at the Arcata Presbyterian Church from 1 to 5 p.m. And that's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our engineer, Michael McCaskill. And thank you to Lauren Schmidt. KMUD News is online, and you can find us at kmud.org and on the SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook platforms where you can see stories, links, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, California, I'm Kelly Lincoln.